It's time for Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest automotive podcast in the known world, with Ron Foreman, Brady Wright, and Steve Johann. Let's find out what's going on this week.
Oh, we know what's going on. It's November the 24th. It's 2020. We're in the midst of whatever it is we're in the midst of. This is Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Ron Foreman, the president and founder of the Rat Bastards Car Club. Steve Johann, our producer. And, of course, me, Brady Wright. We're here doing yet another 163rd.
Wow.
Of Horsepower, Chrome, yep. Rust. And as we always say, we're on iHeart Podcasts, iTunes, we're on Spotify and Podomatic.com, which is our home site. We're also on Player FM and Podbay and Castbox and all those other places.
Pandora.
Finding Pandora. We're on Pandora now.
Yeah.
Pandora. Really?
We thank you though, for following our Facebook page. We appreciate you checking the archives out. And since we're doing the show on YouTube now, please go to YouTube, watch our show. You can subscribe to the channel if you want. There's a little link down at the bottom that'll let you subscribe. So please do that. At some point or another, all of us will be on YouTube. But in the meantime, you're here and we're glad you're here. This is our first segment. It is Back to the Blacktop. And this is, as usual, where Steve dredges up stuff to talk about in the automotive industry. And today, this week, he went to the dumpster behind the Cartoons Magazine publishing house in Toronto, Ontario, and found these pearls of wisdom.
Yes. Well, we have, as part of the globalist vision of paradise on Earth, they are pushing for all electric cars to replace gas-powered cars as soon as possible. And GM has joined their forces with these powers with the announcement that they will be transforming their classic Cadillac badge into an all-electric fleet here in the short future. For the last several years, General Motors CEO Mary Barrera has said that the automaker is on a path to an all-electric future. To make it more visible, last week, she said it would boost its spending on EVs and autonomous vehicles by 35% through the next decade. Yeah. Brands taking most of this transition will become Cadillac, which hopes to be 100% electric by decade's end. Well, as part of this plan, they are pressuring dealerships, as we speak, into supporting their move into an all-electric fleet, which is getting resistance from some of the dealers, who are balking at spending the estimated $200,000 it will cost to install chargers, train staff, and make the other investments needed for the for the brand to go all-electric. So it's kind of interesting. This is a big study that they've done, and they've said, okay, we're reaching, this is who we're going to reach for. But in reality, they're offering bailouts for people who don't want to come over at $500,000. So in other words, if you own a Cadillac dealership.
What is that?
You're bailing out the dealerships that don't want to come over?
Oh, well, basically they're going to offer them $500,000 to walk away and allow somebody else to come over and come in and take over their dealerships.
Oh, so it's not a bailout.
No, it's a buyout.
We want, or you don't get to be a dealer.
Or we'll that's just, yeah, I kind of think that's
what that. And we'll,
what
and
happened
we'll,
to free enterprise?
Yeah,
what happened to free enterprise?
$500,000.
Yeah,
that. My question about all of this, I mean, obviously GM can do whatever it wants to do, but my question is, have they surveyed their owners, the people that buy those cars, and asked them, "Are you guys interested in an all-electric Cadillac?" Because I wonder. I mean, I don't have any insight to this, but I wonder if people who buy those cars, a luxury car like that, are interested in going all electric, you know?
I mean, well, we know that there's pressure from above, and when you understand the pressure from above, we're all living through it right now. As we speak, we're living pressure from above, and then it gets dispersed out to the small guys. So their idea is to move us off gas, get us into electrics. I mean, that is the globalist worldview. And I kid around, but it's not. It literally, you have to read between the lines. You have to do the deep research. I kind of skim the surface. We have fun with this.
But here's the deal.
But there's the fact is, do people really want this?
Yeah.
I don't really believe the vast majority of people want that.
We should go electric. There's no actual reason for it.
No.
Fossil fuels aren't going to die. There's hundreds of thousands of years worth of it left, in case anybody's really paying attention.
That's right.
Who's gonna dispose of the batteries? These batteries are like highly toxic. Highly toxic.
Making them. Yeah, I don't know. I'll be interested to see how this goes. I mean, clearly they're gonna do it, but you know, does this signify the death of a brand.
That's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering what – I didn't have the time, and I'm not sure if they're forthcoming, but it'd be interesting for us maybe to do a little research to find out what are the actual numbers of Cadillacs being sold today. Because we know that they've dropped other brands that they didn't sell well. Is Cadillac going to be kind of become maybe a limited to two vehicles, and they're going to be battery? And that way they can say, hey, we're doing our battery size vehicles and still allow many of their other fleet to not have to go that route. Who knows? I'm not in their boardrooms.
That kind of presupposes that Cadillac is responsible to somebody for that. And they're making this decision on their own. GM, you know, is a big enough entity. Nobody's putting pressure on them to do this. So it's very interesting. Like, will we see what happens for who? Who, you know, ultimately... Do they not work for the people who buy their cars?
Well, they think it's for the environment.
Yes.
That's the problem.
Well, look at how much it costs to mine lithium.
Well, we don't, that's what I'm saying. So the bottom line is there's pressure from above, and we've talked about this for 3 years. We've talked about this push we keep hearing, and then we go, oh, $1 billion, $3 billion, $5 billion invested into infrastructure. Yeah. Like, but we know that less than 5% of the population in the United States or cars sold are electric. So where is this? Well, we know China, they have the mandate because they're a communist country. We are seeing that kind of tilt here in the United States and abroad. So I think it's just we're living a different world. I don't see people wanting to jump on board. There's freedom having gasoline engines that you don't have with a battery-operated car. I'm afraid you just...
The whole automobile industry spins around internal combustion.
It does.
I mean, the entire thing does. So making a change like this is a big, big step. And, you know, I have to keep coming back to the question, is it going to sell? Are we going to actually make this economically feasible? Because you can't just support it forever. You know, you can't throw government money at it and make people do it if they don't want to.
When you say government money, that's taxpayer money.
Yes.
Sure it is.
Of course.
But, yeah.
But, you know, by the time, I mean, if the government has given somebody, you know, stimulus money, it's our money.
It is.
Yep.
Nevertheless, are people going to accept it? And I don't know the answer to this. I don't.
I don't either.
But it'll be real interesting to see, that's for sure.
It is. Well, along with the lines of top dogs in manufacturing companies, Ford Motor Company on Friday said Vijay Sankaran, who was supposed to be its next chief software information officer, has elected not to take the job. He's 47, and he said he wanted to take time off to spend with his family. Maybe he sees handwriting on the wall and has opted to change gears rather than move into a job position during a worldwide reset we are currently living through. And so maybe there's a pressure, and he's up at the top, and he's like, I don't need the headache. I'm leaving. I've got a few million dollars in shares, and he's not going in. I think we're going to see this more and more, people just bailing out of certain positions because maybe they don't want to go along with the agenda. I mean, I don't know. It is interesting. I mean, I'm sure he was going to make a good package. And then good news for Florida car lover, the Central Florida International Auto Show is set to happen December 18th through 20th, with various safety protocols set in place to satisfy the Florida state health authorities. Let's hope they go through with it. So it's going to be real, in person, December 18th through the 20th, the International Florida International Auto Show. So hooray, hooray, someone is brave enough to say, we're doing it, we're going to put the protocols in, but you're going to be able to show up in person. And, you know, kind of like we did our rolling rally. We had a great turnout for our first ever. And, you know, I think people get a little scared. It's like, just do it. Don't worry about it. And so good for the guys. If you're down there in the Florida area, check them out. It's the...
take pictures and put them on our Facebook
yes,
page.
Please. Central Florida International Auto Show, December 18th through the 20th. So coming right around the bend. And so that about wraps up for this week. And for more, just keep staying tuned.
Anything else in the dumpster?
No. There's our music.
Cool. Well, thanks for tuning in. Coming up, we got Mark Mathot from Cartoons Magazine. And Mark is going to be with us on audio only, so make sure you don't go anywhere. You'll see a big picture of somebody, and we'll be back after this. Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Hey, y'all, this is Tommy Ring with Ring Rods Hot Rod Shop in Nashville, Tennessee, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Bunch of crazy dudes just like me. For all y'all crazy people out there, give us a listen. We appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm more resourceful than I thought.
My suit can still make an impression.
My video games are still game changers.
And my lamp can bring others a bright future.
Because when I donate my stuff to Goodwill,
it helps fund job placement and training for people right in my community.
Now my stuff gets a second chance.
And will give someone in my community
a second chance too.
Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. That's goodwill.org. This message brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear.
Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust is back for the first half of the Windshield View with Mark.
Mathot.
That's how fast I remember names.
You are the man. Mark is the founder, publisher, the main guy, the big squeeze with Cartoons Magazine. And we actually had Mark on the show back, a couple of months ago. And we're kind of waiting to see what's happening. I've been seeing the magazine on the newsstands. It looks great. And it brings back a lot of cool memories. So what's new with Cartoons?
Pretty much we're still publishing a magazine. Great news is we're working on issue number 31, nice. Which it blows my mind because we are a bi-monthly magazine.
Right.
So with only 6 issues a year, 31's a pretty big deal to us. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
I think you hit that big 5-0, you can have a celebration of some sort, big full color fold out, gatefold in the middle of the magazine, something like that.
Let's push for 100. So
I like it.
Yeah, there you go. So I know, Mark, when we had you on last time, which was actually a couple years ago, you were just pretty much fired this thing up and had been going for a while. And you and I had done a little bit of emailing, and then we've been busy. I talked with Barry, your handler, and he was saying that you've done some a documentary or some kind of a history, or talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, because Cartoons is such an iconic trademark and it's very well known worldwide, I wanted to focus outside of the publication. So we're trying to put some projects together and to try and seal a deal with possibly a full documentary on Cartoons Magazine, the whole history of it. Then also a possible animated movie or series. And so we're working on those. The animated series, we were supposed to start and getting a presentation together and everything in the beginning of March. And then, of course, the pandemic put a delay on all that. So we're still slowly moving forward with it. I don't know when we'll have a green light or a deal signed or whatever, but we're still pushing forward on that.
Well, I'm going to toss my hat into the ring here because I spent a lot of years in the broadcast business doing voiceover work. So if you need a voice for one of the car characters or something, give me a call.
Definitely. If I have control of it, I know something like that, I probably wouldn't have any control at all. So,
well,
hey, never know.
Yeah, I could do the commercials either way. Let me know.
That is great. So, as a documentary, are you going to be talking, like, literally bringing in, covering the history, but also some of the notable artists that were used that have come involved, the writers for the, because, I mean, it covers a very long gamut of individuals who've had their hand involved with cartoons. I mean, I've got, one of these days I'm going to put a couple issues in frames on my wall that are from 73. So, talk to us a little bit about that, the idea, the vision of your documentary.
Well, I don't have it all down packed, but what I have a vision for this documentary is starting right from the very beginning, 1958, when Pete Millar and Carl Kohler came up with the concept and did those digest style books and ran that for a year or two. And then Peterson Publishing jumped on and took it over and made it a full magazine. And there's so much history, and with a lot of the original artists still around in that, I think they'd have a lot of stories to talk about and say on camera. And then a lot of celebrities too in the automotive industry that grew up reading cartoons and would tell you that cartoons inspired who they are today. So there's a lot of mixture of stuff that we can make it pretty good to make a nice documentary.
I really loved having that magazine around when I was growing up. It was really cool. I remember getting the iron-ons for your t-shirt. And back in the day, you got your magazine, you got a cool iron-on with your magazine. It was really awesome.
Yeah, that would have been around late 70s to early 80s. They ran the iron-on, and then they switched to a poster insert.
Right.
I was before the iron-on, so I used to just look at the pictures and draw my own on a piece of paper, get it just the way I wanted. And then there was, back in the day, my mom had carbon paper, so I'd put the carbon paper down on my white t-shirt. I would trace over it, and then there was these special pens that my mom had got that were like an art pen kind of a thing, and I had done some trains and stuff, and so I says, hey, I got some leftover. So I started drawing, and I made my own little monster cars on my own t-shirts, and I wore those around the block very proudly, so... That was just
that's awesome.
That's the best. That's like admitting that you were a gigantic nerd, except we're all four in the same boat.
Oh yeah. And everybody loved it because everybody's like, oh yeah, I got that. Yeah. And then the monster cards were big, you know, the bubblegum cards with the monster truck, right. You know, and everything. So talk a little bit about what you did to revive the name and actually get the publishing rights and everything. How did that take place?
Well, back in late 2014, I found that the trademark was abandoned for about 4 months. And through this broker website that deals with trademarks and patents, I filed for it through there. And then I got locked in. But then I had to go through this whole 6 month process and a lot of money, of course. And once it was finalized and it was in my name, I had to prove to the United States Patent Office that I was doing something with this trademark. It's just something you couldn't buy and sit on it.
Yeah.
But I already had it in my mind. I'm like, I need to do something with this. Like, this magazine hasn't been in print since 1991. So with social media and reaching out to people there that I was in the works of getting this trademark, I wanted to bring it back. There was major support. A lot of people were skeptical, but I just dove right in. And with no experience or whatsoever in publishing, but you know, you got to do what you got to do and learn as you go. And we all must be doing something right, because we're on 5 years now and we're still going. So
you should be very proud of yourself. That's really cool that you were able to get all that done and handled. That's really cool. Exactly. I know what it's like to get something trademarked. We trademarked our car club, and it was not an easy task, and it was expensive as well. So I understand what you went through, and it's very awesome that you did that and saved the magazine. That's really cool.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, and to kind of dovetail to that, starting something from scratch, especially having no previous experience. I mean, you didn't ever publish before, right?
I had zero experience, and I had zero budget. So, like, if you're going to take the hardest road to success, I took it. So
there you go.
With a lot of support, with the fans, with my artists, even with my family, my wife, and that, We've been making it work, and we're still not where we want to be. We're trying to build that budget up and beyond. That's why I'm trying to focus outside of the publishing industry to help with that. But we're still going, and we're going on for another year. So coming up.
Maybe a GoFundMe page.
Go ahead, Ron.
Maybe a GoFundMe page would help with that, being it's such a great magazine that has all that history. Yeah. A lot of hot riders might be willing to chip in a couple bucks. You know, separate a beer, chip in some money, save a magazine. Sounds like a good idea to me.
Anything's possible, but we're doing pretty good right now. Like surprising with the pandemic, our website sales increased. It seems a lot of people want something to read, so they've been buying all back issues and subscribing to cartoons and that. So that's working great, and I got no complaints so far. So.
Well, you've kind of done all of the, I hesitate to say it this way, but you've kind of done all the hard work. I mean, just getting the thing set up and operating, and now you've got, you know, some years worth of time and service. That's a lot easier than, you know, the initial startup, especially when it had been dormant for so long. That's huge. Oh, look, Steve's giving us the 30-second warning.
Yes.
I don't know what that means. Is we're supposed to probably wrap it up because we got another segment coming up, but we got plenty of time. We could make something up for 26 of those seconds. We don't have to say anything real valuable.
Okay, I'm supposed to do this. I know what that is.
Well, that's right. Yeah, that this is a signal.
That's a signal.
That means. Basically means
we're getting down close. We're getting down.
Yeah, no worries. Ron actually has the script. See, this is how this works, Mark. We have this written down. We never pay any attention to it, mind you, but we do have it written down. So at some point,
Ron, there's some music.
All right,
and then we'll come back.
The Windshield View will be right back after these few messages. Of Horsepower, Coleman Russ. Stick it in the park and stick around.
You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You just might love the Rad Bastards. We're a family-oriented, nonprofit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough. Real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other build, and cruise like crazy, because that's what car clubs are supposed to do. The Rad Bastards are a new class of old-school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Join us at cruise-ins all over the Puget Sound and on the Rad Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Don't move. We'll bring this rig home right after this.
Sensory sensitivity, repetitious behavior, lack of eye contact. You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad.
Back in Vehicle City. Yes, we are. We're back with the second half of the Windshield View on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And let's get back with Mark. And we were kind of just talking about the adventures of starting up and running a magazine. I want to kind of shift gears and talk a little bit about some of the artists. How many of the original artists, or, well, 59, okay, but how many artists that have been involved with it were able to come back on, and then how many new artists have you brought on?
I can't think of those numbers off the top of my head, but... I got a good handful or more original artists, a lot of big names. We got George Trollsley, Bob Harding. We got Steve Austin. We just got Earl McCarthy on, which is a big deal to us. And yeah, there's others that I'm going to forget right off the top of my head. But yeah, and then we have a lot of new artists too. We have about 20 that we work with each issue. We don't have every artist in every issue, but majority of them we do. So, and it's been working great with all of them. So
how do you come up with the little stories for each one of the articles for the cars that you, that's designed and put into your magazine? Little stories, you know, it talks about the, you know, have the little bubble, one guy's talking to another guy. And how do you come up with the little stories in the little snippets that you have?
Well, actually, it's the comic strips are done by the artists themselves.
Okay.
I'll give them a nudge on a possible theme of the issue. Sometimes we go themeless, so I just let them do whatever they want to do.
That's cool.
Yeah, they'll come up with the story, send me the rough, and then I have to approve it. So I got to make sure it's family friendly, you know, that it's good for the youngsters to read.
Mm-hmm.
And cool. Then if sometimes a story will need sprucing up, so, you know, I'll give some suggestions in that, and then they do the final. But otherwise, they've been doing an amazing job creating their own stories and all that.
Cool. So, right on. Thank you.
You know, that was kind of always one of the things that drew me to the magazine back in the day, because there kind of was a theme, but there wasn't necessarily continuity between one story to the next. It was all a whole bunch of individual sort of vignettes.
Yep.
And it was fun to read, because if you weren't necessarily into one particular thing, the next one was going to grab you. And the art was always a little different. And that was kind of fun for me, because, you know, seeing the same, I don't know, 57 Chevy drawn by six different people, it's kind of cool. You get some ideas around that.
Yeah, we try to mix it up and with the art styles. And then, like, if we go themeless, I'd like to see different type of car cultures all mixed in one. If we do go with a theme, I try to keep it more open, so it's not just based on one little thing. So it's not repetitive seeing just a different story, but it's based on the same thing type deal. What's amazing too is since the last time we talked, we got Crash and Bernie back on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, cool. And they started with us in issue 27, so we're working on 31 now. But then we kept Deuce and Pinstripe too, so we got George doing both stories, but we mashed the two character comic strips together into like one world deal, so they know each other and everything.
Oh,
so
wow.
We do a lot of crossovers and stuff like that, so it's great, yeah.
You try and keep it the old school with the retro cars, or do you kind of expand into like some of the drifting part of the sport right now? It's kind of drifting is pretty hot. You do like a little more modern cars, you're going to keep it retro?
I'd have to say we're good 70 to 80% retro. I've always wanted to keep it that way, because that's more entertaining to the readers
that.
than modern stuff. But if there's something that's really popular in the modern times, yeah, we're going to throw that in there too. But you're not like, a good example is we did an issue all on imports, and we didn't do your typical racer type imports. It was all classic imports from the 60s and 70s, because even if you're not a fan of the import, you can relate, because a lot of people grew up back then driving one of them as a daily driver. You know what I mean? And if you really look at them, they're beautiful looking cars. They have beautiful lines and everything.
Yep.
So yeah, so that we really try and push more old school, but you'll see a little bit of modern stuff in there too. So,
well, I know
appreciate that.
One of the big things that you did is you got hooked up with, the Dukes, and talk a little bit about that whole scenario, about the Dukes of Hazzard and John and the General Lee.
Well, thanks to Barry, he hooked me up with John Snyder, and John's a big cartoons fan. He read it too when years ago. So I was fortunate enough to work with him, and also Mike Joy. He's the voice of NASCAR. So I worked with both of them on issue 28. And so it was a mixture of, you know, it was more of not NASCAR stuff with Mike. He's part of the historic Trans Am series, and it's a racing series of those muscle cars from the late 60s, early 70s,
right.
The Cudas and the Mustangs and all that. And he's a big part of that. So we kind of brought that series into it with Mike Joy. And then, of course, your Dukes of Hazzard stuff with John Snyder. So I mean, they were amazing to work with. It was great. And everybody loved the issue. And so.
Yeah, like the racing series that's in the poster behind you.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah.
So, very cool.
So now, who gets the option to do the full color on the front? Because it's all black and white on the interior, correct?
Yeah, we kept it grayscale. Because I wanted to have that nostalgia feel to it.
Yep.
And the cover is tough because like we only do 6 issues a year, and everybody would love a cover spot. So we plan ahead and. You know, and of course, we got to have George Trozzi in there because everybody loves him. And then we mix it with the artists that I choose throughout. So, yeah.
Yeah. And
I'm not going to hand it to Trozzi because he's never really stopped. I mean, you see his ads for his artwork, and I guess he's got a series of plastic, they're not die cast, they're actually plastic model cars. At least they're licensed to him because it's his designs. It's kind of cool that he kept doing that in spite of the fact that, you know, he didn't have like a venue like yours, but to have him back in the magazine is really slick. I've always enjoyed his work.
Yeah. He's in his early 70s, and that's all he does is draw. And it's not just for my magazine. He does other magazines too. And then he does commission work for all the fans. So he's that's pretty hardcore of how much he draws and loves doing it and still doing it. So.
Very cool.
Yeah, we had him on, a couple of years ago as well. We'll have to try to bring him back on again because it's kind of like, I love it. And it is all young guys and gals that read that back in the day. It inspired us with that was right there with the Hot Wheels, with making models, fixing up our bicycles and making choppers or whatever we did. And then it just kind of moved right on into some people had scooters. Other people had their first car.
I'm pointing at me when you say scooters.
Yeah.
Mini bikes.
But that was that era that came out, that mini bike, that whole thing was a very special time of about a 10-year golden year for all that. And then things changed by mid-80s or early 80s. Things changed and progressed, but you're bringing all that back. And so there's a part of your demographic, I suspect, of readership. Who are you getting younger readers coming in and enjoying the content as well?
I'm getting a mixture of all ages and all gender. And a lot of, I get a lot of subscribers who subscribe for themselves and for their kids too, because they want their kids to have the same experience they did reading cartoons growing up. So, and I get that. I get a lot of positive emails with their stories and their memories of growing up with cartoons. And that's what, that motivates me to keep going with this magazine. So,
well, plus it's another good reason to keep the whole thing family friendly. Not that you wouldn't anyway, but that way, you know, the dad can share it with his kids, and you know, there's not like a page you have to hide or something. You know, like
bigger audience.
Yeah, exactly.
That too, but it is tough these days because it's you know, you have to determine, you know, is somebody going to get offended about this, and you know, is a mother going to be looking over the shoulder of their child reading cartoons and, you know, and she blows a gasket because he's reading something he shouldn't be. So
right.
We got to be on top of that. And then it's a challenge too, that we still have to entertain the adult cartoon fans while keeping it family friendly. You know what I mean? So it is a big challenge with that too, with that type of humor. So, but we've been doing it, and majority of our readers are loving every issue. Better than the next. So,
well, the nice thing about that exact thing you're talking about is there's so much animated content out there now, whether it's magazines or websites or, you know, Facebook pages or all of that, that if you're looking for something other than, you know, a family friendly environment, you can find that someplace else. So I'm sure there's no pressure, you know, to put that particular kind of content in your magazine. You don't have to. It's its own sort of entity, if you will. They can find all kinds of other stuff other places.
Yeah, definitely. And another thing too, you will not find politics
in
my book.
Hey,
we stay away from that too, unless it relates to cars that we don't bring it in.
Yeah, unless it's like Dodge, Ford, Chevy, you know.
I'm a car guy.
Everybody's preference.
Right.
Yeah. Me neither. I love it all too, so.
Well, I love that concept, and you're out of Canada. So where's your distribution right now? I mean, you've got how much is paper and how much of it is electronic right now?
Well, I'd have to say a good 90% of my subscribers or even more subscribe to print.
Okay.
All across the U.S. and Canada. We do have some overseas. We do have digital subscribers, but it seems everybody wants to have that print copy in their hand. And
nostalgia part of it.
Cartoon's more of a comic book too.
It is.
And people want to collect it and they want to keep it, put it away. Maybe it'll be worth money down the road or years down the road. They could pull it out and read a comic strip that they remembered reading now. You know what I mean? So,
Yeah, exactly. Well, plus there's that shelf in the garage that you want those magazines on just because it's something you can hold in your hands and go back to time and time. You don't have to fire up the computer and do all of the, you know, find the website and stuff. It's just there when you want it.
Well, you'd be surprised how many people have the original cartoons.
Me.
Oh, they got stacks of them because they kept them all.
I have a few of them.
And a lot of the other magazines, you know, they got tossed out in recycling and that, but you got to keep your cartoons. So.
Not everyone ever bought.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because back in the day, it was like you had a choice between, you know, Superman, and then you looked at cartoons, and it was kind of like I got hooked on cartoons. All of a sudden, that's what I'm looking at buying when I had my 25 cents or 35 cents, whatever it was, which was a lot of money back in 73 for a kid, you know. People think, well, that was... Well, you know, when you pick berries and you were getting 10 cents a box, you could spend half a day getting a couple flats, and that was $2. So money was definitely worth more in those days, but you appreciated. So that's why a lot of us kept those things. We didn't want to get rid of them. Or I got my Hot Wheels from then because that was nostalgic. And Ron, the same thing. But I love the fact that it's paper. When I looked at your magazine, I'm going to subscribe to it again. Look at one, set it down, come back later. I want to savor it. I don't want to read all the articles at one time. I want to kind of baby myself through it. So I suspect a lot of people do the same thing, right, Mark?
Oh, definitely. And there's a lot of fans out there. There was a Simpsons episode where Homer couldn't wait to get his cartoons magazine in the mail.
Wow.
And, awesome.
So somebody in that production was a cartoons fan for having such a thing, right?
Yep.
And what's amazing too is I was just reached out by a production company doing an animated series for Netflix, and they want one of the head production guys, he's a big cartoons fan, so he wants to put little Easter eggs in the animated series, with cartoons magazines in the background and that. So
very cool.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. We are talking about the print and how cool it is, but we would be sort of remiss if we didn't mention the website. It's www.cartoonsmag.com. So I know that people watching the show or our listeners, they're going to want to know where they can go and sign up and, you know, get a subscription. So certainly that's one place. You're on newsstands, all kind of places. I mean, I find it at half the grocery stores I go to as I cruise by the magazine rack. There's your magazine. So. I know that people are interested because we get feedback on the show and stuff. And what have you got coming up? We got about a minute and a half or so. You got something secret that we got to know?
Nothing really. Like, we're working on 31, issue 31. We're doing everything diesel, lifted trucks, and monster trucks. We don't have any special guests as of yet. We're trying to lock that in, but we definitely were due to do a big lifted truck type and monster truck too. Like we have a lot of people asking for such a thing. So
nice. You know who your special guest ought to be? Deadpool. I think Deadpool is the perfect guy to like Cartoons Magazine. It ought to be in one of the next movies.
Yeah, you never know, right?
Hey,
well,
I just bought a monster truck. I got a 2002 Ford F-250 with the 7.3. And it's all lifted, big balloon tires. I'll send you a picture of it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, Mark,
thanks
for being on with us. We got a great lineup for a little bit more of the show, so stick around. And, yeah, we got our trivia question. You don't want to miss that on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14, 41,
31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted. I realized he forgot his homework. I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org.
Hi, this is Big Daddy Don Garlitson. Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiver.
It's time now for Cars Confidential, and we are back with another story. Fenders, Fins, and Friends. Let her rip, Brady.
Ooh. Okay, so yeah, as Ron says, Fenders, Fins, and Friends, one of Lance Lambert's many volumes of car-related trivial stuff. Shouldn't be trivial, really. It's pretty cool, most of them. But the stories are terrific. This one is actually a fairly short story, but we're gonna talk about it some and stretch the segment out so that it sounds like we actually have something to say.
Oh,
milk it
for all it's worth.
This one is called Car Friends, and I think we all have at least a couple of these guys.
I got a couple on the screen here with me right here. Right
That's
now.
Right. And we got a bunch of them listening to the show.
The realization is sinking in that car show season is over. No more wandering through parks or parking lots full of classics, customs, hot rods. No more unconsciously singing or whistling softly because I'm in an environment that makes me very happy. No more not being able to walk 50 feet without running into a car friend. Sure, over the winter, there's always a car club meeting or a party to attend or a garage gathering or a car buddy to visit, maybe help with a project. But these activities don't compare to parking amidst acres of carnival-colored cars and being surrounded by equally happy car friends.
Now, or rusty ones.
When he says carnival-colored cars, I'm wondering if Ron wandered onto the parking lot for the circus because, I don't know, maybe. Speaking of which, on Facebook the other day, there was an ad for a car, an old Cadillac. It looked like a flower car. You know, you've seen
right.
The long, nothing in the back. And the thing was painted red and yellow and green with stars and stuff on it. And everybody was going, so, you know, because it's a shrine car. It's a Masonic shrine parade car.
Gosh.
That's what nobody knew.
Ah.
I knew because... Anyway, our common love of cars is a strong bond. I don't care who you voted for in the last election or what numbers are on your W-2 form. I don't care that I'm old enough to be your father or young enough to be your kid, what I care about is that you and I talk the same language. We share the same passion. Your passion may be for 60s cars with blowers sticking through the hoods, or 100-year-old contraptions with shiny brass trim gleaming
contraptions
in the sun and steam chugging out the tailpipes. So he's apparently seen your car, Ron. You may make some choices with your car that would be different choices than I would make, but regardless of our preferences, we understand each other's passion for cars. You accept me, despite these differences, because you're a car friend. You're the one that encourages me to wake up at 5:30 in the morning on a weekend so we won't be late to a car show or a cruise. You appreciate the rolling sculptures that surround us on the grass or the asphalt as much as I do. You're full of life, you're quick to laugh, you're always supportive and eager to share your knowledge and your labor. You reflect, I love this, you reflect the best parts of life. You're why car shows are so much fun. The cars on display are great, but your friendship is greater. The cars are the cake, you're the frosting. You know, I think in all my life I've never actually been called frosting.
No.
Or cake.
Or icing.
My world is not so narrow that it allows me only to have friends in the car hobby, but these friends are a top priority. Now, I'm going to have to go through the winter without hanging out at a car show with you. It's going to be a long winter, but of course, I'll get through it. Bourbon helps.
You actually said that?
There are things that need to be done on the car. The garage always needs to be cleaned up. But for the next several months, I'll miss seeing you at car shows and having you excitedly point out the latest improvements to your car. I'll miss our laughing together as we recall some past car show incident. And I'll miss walking by the cars and telling you what I like about certain ones. Stay warm in your garage this winter. I'll see you at the first spring cruise or show and shine. And you know, that's exactly where we are. I mean, it's November. It's the end of November.
Yep.
And the fact is, for most of the country, it's going to be kind of narrow in terms of cruising or gatherings or car shows. And of course, the pandemic doesn't help with any of that. But I'm happy to be able to say a couple, 3 weeks ago, we did the creepy cruise.
Yep.
In the, you know, the Puget Sound area, Pacific Northwest, we had a lot of cars that came to that thing. And clubs around and groups in other parts of the country are doing things like that. Even though there's no car show, there's a cruise, maybe there's a gathering at a local drive-in. People
yes.
are doing those things.
Yep.
And I think, I hope we all will. We always will.
Yep, me too.
Peaceful protest. Peaceful protest.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yes.
I
protest being able to go to a car show.
Yes. Exactly.
I'm not going to break your windows.
The cool thing is, you know, he talks about sprucing up his garage. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm slowly going through and cleaning up and organizing and building shelving, getting things rearranged, removing shelving, whatever, to make room for my car that's going to go in there. And it's a process, and I go out there, and now that it's getting cooler, I'm like, you know, okay, it's going to take all winter because I have a lot of work, going to rewire it, and by spring, that's when I roll the car in. So I was hoping to get it done in the fall, but in all reality, things take precedent, and now I'm like, okay, every week I'm out there churning away, getting a little bit more through done, and eventually it's going to be that way, and I'm going to be happy. It's a process. It's not like, you know, people like, oh, what do you do when you can't go out and you can't do the things you normally do? Well, people who have hobbies tend to be a lot healthier than people who just sit and watch TV, and I'm a hobby guy. You guys are hobby people, and it gives you a much better frame of mind. And all of us guys and gals that are listening to the show that are hobbyists, you know what? We can go out and tinker on our car, work in our garage, clean it up, organize a shelf. I can have more entertainment just going out in my shop. And so, you know, I want to rearrange something, and I don't really need this, and I want to put something else in here. All of a sudden, 4 hours goes by like that, and I'm just, my mind is at peace. I'm not thinking about anything other than, wow, I just accomplished that little thing. And you walk away and you feel a little bit better. So, guys, I think I'm not alone on that.
You know, you've got too few projects when one of your weekend projects is I'm alphabetizing my end wrenches.
Yeah.
They all start with Craftsman. It wasn't as easy as I thought.
Oh, yes.
It's true.
Yes.
It's true. Hey, and I wanted to mention this, too. One thing that is happening, in spite of the fact that there's not really car shows, several clubs around, a lot of them are doing like Christmas cruises, Thanksgiving cruises.
Yes.
Up the cars and stuff. There's several people doing that kind of thing. Look at Facebook. Look at the social media where you are. I guarantee you there's at least one or two. And that's a fun thing to do. A lot of them are for charity, too. So you can jump into that way.
Well, yeah. Lorette Bash has just made up four families baskets for Thanksgiving. Very, yeah. Very happy. And they were very humbled. And we were very humbled giving them. And people that donated, we want to thank them very much contributed to the project. And yeah. We're going to be doing one for Christmas as well. So
yeah,
if you have and anything,
I know we'll talk about that at one of the upcoming shows. So make sure that, you know, we get a chance to, sure. to publicize that for you.
Definitely.
Okay.
And I know that, even though Brady is still in his temporary abode and will be probably for the next couple weeks, at least, we will know eventually he'll have his own house over there and he'll have a studio built into that house. He'll have his room. But in the meantime, he's also been kind of running around and meeting up with some of the various car club guys. And
that's
right.
So, in 2 weeks, we are going to talk with a guy who is the founder, the runner of North Idaho Rat Rods and Cruisers. And there's a bunch of stuff that those guys are doing. And I think, Ron, you'll appreciate meeting this guy. He's got a lot of similarities between him and you.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that's coming up.
And Ron, you got your new truck or new used truck,
but
you're not working on that, are you? You're working on a couple. How many cars are you working on right now?
I don't want to talk about it.
You're talking about the ones Marcia knows about or the...
I just bought two more cars last weekend.
You are like...
1955 Buick Special and a 1956 Roadmaster. Four-door Roadmaster.
Wait, you have a 56 Roadmaster?
Four-door, yes.
Oh, you and I have to talk. That's all there is. I'll tell you a story about that when we come back.
Yeah, I'll send you some pictures, Brady.
Okay, all right, yeah. All right.
Wow, cool. I couldn't do that. I don't have a room to do that, so.
I don't have a room either.
What's that?
I have a real good friend down in Centralia, Troy Hall. He's helping us out a lot with building the Oldsmobile and getting that restored and getting that going, and with the Buicks too.
Well, there's our music. We're going to be right back with more and our last trivia question.
Man, do I love card night! You ready, boys? You got a king.
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino man. Only you can understand.
You are the only one who can understand. Hey, this is Around the Wheel. This is where we do the Nathan Lipinski weekly automotive trivia question. We also talk about upcoming events and stuff, and Ron's special piece of information from the previous show. But let me do the trivia question first. Last week, we didn't have a winner in our quest. Nobody
but
knew. Oh, heck with them. We got a new one. This week's question, this is kind of, it's a little obscure, but then all my questions are a little obscure, so here we go. Something important happened in the automotive industry in 1914. It changed driving forever. What was it?
1914. Wow.
See, we don't know. So, but you might know. You might be able to get to us at contact us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You could go to the Facebook page and type in an answer. You could send us an email. Any one of those things would work. You could go to the YouTube channel and write it in there. That would be cool. So again, something happened in 1914 that changed the automotive industry forever.
The Federal Reserve started coming in somewhere around there, but
yeah, well, it wasn't that. People were buying cars before, but that's a good one. I like that.
Yeah,
but yeah, happen to know, give us a shout, and you too can get the opportunity to get your name slashed across the screen with our genuine horsepower chrome and rust bucket of barn fine dust, which Steve has someplace there, except you didn't bring it. You know what it looks like.
There he goes. He's gonna go get it. Nope. Yep. Yo,
a week or so ago, Ron was talking about something on the show here while he's running to find that.
Sure.
I would have called this a pressure release valve, but it's not. What is it?
It's a pressure residual valve, RPV, and okay. It's two pounds pressure for the front and 10 pounds pressure for the back, and they're color coded. There's purple for the 2 pounds and either gloss, clear, polished aluminum for the rear, or red.
Oh, and so for your brakes, and are they
yes,
universal or specific vehicle?
I think if your power master cylinder is below your wheel below cylinders or your calipers, so if they're below,
yeah, you got to have something to equalize the
valves.
Pressure.
Right,
so that's correct. Residual.
Yes,
residual. We learned a new word.
There'll be a test later on.
That's like having a toilet below the water label that it's a pump to pull the sewer out the house.
All seriousness, though, that this is a very safety feature that you should have in your car.
Yeah, it's not like a P-trap for your car. It's actually supposed to be there.
Well, what's cool. Next week's? Oh, yeah, you already did the trivia question. What is?
Well, yeah, the trivia. This
1914.
Is trivia question for next week, of
course. Yeah.
But also coming next week, we finally have got John Schneider from Dukes of Hazzard.
Woohoo!
He'll be on our show next week. We're really looking forward to that. He was going to be on last week. He had a little schedule conflict, but yeah, he's going to be with us next week. We're going to have him on video. We're going to try to totally embarrass him about the General Lee. I don't know what we're going to do. He's a busy guy.
He is.
But we're looking forward to having him on the show.
Well, what's really cool is, even though there's a lot not going on in the world of cars, because number one, we've had the close downs and the restrictions, but two, it is getting towards winter. It's getting cold. Brady saw a little bit of snow where he's at, and a lot of places in the United States and Canada will be shifting in. We're still in fall, so it won't even be till the 21st of December that we actually hit in the winter. And then there's like that 3-4 months of, the winter time. And so I think, we had Mark on about cartoons. I know I'm going to subscribe, get on. That'll give me 6 issues a year, something to look forward to.
Yeah.
And I think anybody who wants to,
all of mine are packed.
Yes, there you go. So, not that we're getting paid for this, but we'll plug it. Check out
mine are in here.
Oh, look at that. There you go. See,
mine are in there.
And so anyway,
I didn't have time to dig them out. So
no, I'm going to bring mine next week.
Nice. Cool.
There's our music.
Well, we really appreciate you guys watching and listening. It's been great to do this. We're on every week. We want to thank Mark Mathot for chatting with us about Cartoons Magazine.
Thank you, Mark.
As always, you can do feedback and questions to our Facebook page or the YouTube channel if you like. Make sure you subscribe. We appreciate it. For Ron Foreman and Steve Johann, I'm still Brady Wright saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, your foot to the floor. Drive fast, take risks, and tune in next week for another Horsepower Chrome and Rust.